We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Underestimate SB and Sean breaking through the noise, serving real talk, the genuine choice.
No pretense, no hidden schemes, just sports passion fueling dreams. From the field to the court, every play that's made, real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up. Overthink the dates. Real takes. Overthink the dates.
Real takes. Overthink the dates.
We are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Ribb. Real takes. Overthink the bait, Shaw. It is Monday. How are you feeling?
Man, doing all right, SB. How you doing, man?
I am doing swell. And also, I hope you guys are out there doing well, because I want you guys to know, obviously, you're watching on YouTube, or like what I'm going to say to the people who don't want to watch on YouTube, we are on every streaming audio platform you can think of: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartMedia. So go on there. Matter of fact, I'm going to just let the lady tell you.
Real Takes Over Fake Debates has invaded the audio podcast world. Add Real Takes Over Fake Debates on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartMedia. Leave a 5-star review and comment below. New episodes every Monday and Friday.
New episodes every Monday and Friday. Don, we're not going to waste the people time. We're going to get right into the show. It's a lot of things to talk about. NFL, we got a little NBA in here too today. Salute Tiffany. She said Flock Nation. She said y'all back. Y'all seem like y'all back. But let's go ahead and get into it, Sean. So the Dallas Cowboys get it's a thing going around on football with the young kids in high school where it's a BTA. That's what happened to the Dallas Cowboys, to the Detroit Lions. If you don't know what BTA is, just look it up. It's belt to the behind. And it's like people walk in the football line, they get the little belt and like slap them on the butt with the belt saying they beat them. But, Sean, that's what happened to the Dallas Cowboys against the Detroit Lions, which something bad happened for the Lions in this game, which we will talk about in a second. But to get beat, Sean, the way they just got beat, a 47-9 beatdown, is embarrassing at home to your home fans. And just like the guy Bubba Dub say, they trash, Sean. I'm sorry. This Dallas Cowboy team is trash. They might be the third best team in the division right now. Even though they're young and they got a young quarterback, right now the Commanders are even better than them. The Dallas Cowboys, I'm sorry, Sean, it's trash. Am I wrong for saying this? I think even before this blowout, I think this just put the nail in the coffin for me.
I think, SB, if you say the Cowboys are trash, it would assume that you had great expectations for the Cowboys coming into this season. I think there were a lot of people who realistically looked at that team and said they have problems. And while we know Dak is a really good quarterback,
yes,
and CeeDee Lamb is one of the best receivers in the league, in football, you don't win with two guys. I know a lot of people are going to – I heard, you know, even some of the commentators yesterday, you know, your GOAT, you know, talking about, oh, you know, a lot of injuries and all this other stuff. Nobody want to hear that. At the end of the day, guys get hurt. Guys have issues, you know, with health. And you got to figure out a way to manage it. That's what your front office is there for. That's what your coaching staff is there for. figure it out. Yesterday wasn't about the Cowboys having injuries, particularly on the defensive side. Yesterday was they looked like a team that was ill prepared to play against the Detroit Lions. And I tell you this, SB, just real quick, in their last four home games, going all the way back to the playoffs, so this includes the Green Bay game from last year, the Cowboys have allowed 167 points.
That's terrible.
Yeah. They are awful at home. They got worked yesterday, obviously. Baltimore ran through them. New Orleans ran through them. And then, again, go back to the Green Bay game, the wild card game in the playoffs this past year. They don't play well at home. It's not a home field advantage. Yesterday was Jerry Jones's birthday. I think the birthday what he got yesterday was reparations. And ultimately I think,
it's John, just, did you just say what the blowout was reparations?
Yeah, it was. But I think again, it's this is on him. All I kept hearing was, Mike McCarthy, 112 games. Sometimes teams win in spite of the coach, not because of, right? All those years Green Bay won, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it was because of Mike McCarthy. Because they got rid of Mike McCarthy and they got LaFleur, and he's a better coach, just schematically, all that other stuff. So, I mean, frankly, I'm glad to see them get beat down like this because, again, they have not built a really good team. And they have nobody but to blame but themselves. And everybody says, we just paid Dak too much money. You could have got out in front of this Dak contract before.
A long time ago.
You could have got out in front of the CeeDee Lamb contract a year ago. You didn't.
And they didn't.
So at the end of the day, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And look at who's making the calls and who's running that organization. And it starts with Jerry Jones. That's who it's on.
Jeremiah Jones. It definitely starts with Mr. Jerry Jones. Everything about the Cowboys is Jerry Jones, and every problem about the Cowboys is Jerry Jones. And the biggest problem for the Cowboys in general is Jerry Jones. It all points to him because he can market the team well, but he cannot build his team well. He can't coach better for this team, or he can't pick a good coach for this team, or he can't have the right pieces to have a good defense. Sean, this defense is atrocious. I get the injuries right now, but this defense supposed to be this supposed to be the all world-class defense. Get to the quarterback. They ain't really doing that good. And my gosh, Sean, I'm telling y'all, I'm getting more and more in the bed, but I'm trying to tell y'all, if you want a running back guaranteed parlay or a good game from a running back, wait till they play the Cowboys. The running back is guaranteed to have a good game. A guarantee. You go down and listen to all the points. Dave Montgomery didn't even have that many yards, but he had two touchdowns. Two touchdowns, easy. Easily. Him and Gibbs running through them, easily.
SB, if you watched the game yesterday, SB, some of the plays the Lions were running looked like straight out of the Sandlot. They were literally running.
Just try it.
They lined up a backup tackle at receiver and had him run around.
Hey, they was being disrespectful. They was getting disrespectful. Well deserved. Right. Like it too, though. Dog. I like that Cowboys track. I love it.
No, listen. As someone who's not a Cowboys fan, obviously, I love to see him get smacked just because, again, every year that comes in with this same hype, it's just, this is our year. We're going to figure it out this year. You haven't figured it out in 30 years. Why would I believe it now? At the end of the day, it was a flat out beat down. And again, it's not going to get much better because guess who they play after the bye?
I can tell you right now. Oh, you can tell me.
San Francisco.
Is Christian McCaffrey coming back?
It don't matter.
That's bad. Now, the next game.
Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing, so it don't even matter.
Ooh, and they got broke. Sure. 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, and the Texans all back to back. And Jaden Daniels next to Commanders. That's their next
games are going to be. I'm not saying they're going to go, they're going to lose all five. I'm saying that if they break even, I'd be shocked. Because again, there's nothing when I watched that team yesterday. And to be real, they got real fortunate on last Sunday Night Football. And again, it's not easy to win in the NFL, so I don't ever take away from a team winning. But the way they won in Pittsburgh might have given them a false sense of confidence coming in this week. But that Detroit team is real. It's been real. It's been real for the last 3 years. And again, and you know, the crazy part is, SB, and I don't know if we want to spend much time on this, but the crazy part of it is every time Dallas has beaten Detroit the last three times in Dallas, it's always been some phantom stuff. It's been a phantom call. It's been, they Detroit converted a two-point conversion, but, we didn't know that they checked in. They had a six eligible lineman check in, so we're going to take the play off. We're going to take that off the board. You know, before that, it was a pass interference call against Brandon Pettigrew in the playoffs. It was like, it's every single time they have beaten the Detroit, it's always been something phantom. And finally, Detroit said, we ain't going to put this game in the refs. We are going to go out here and we are going to smack the crap out of you and dare you to do something. They got Debo.
They got Debo for real. And I love it. I'm sorry. I can't help but smile at watching the Cowboys suffer. Shout out Khalil. It says a little in the chat too. He said, "What happened to the Cowboys? Embarrassment. Embarrassment." And then Lou said something very important. Detroit ain't playing. And honestly, I had Detroit. I know the 49ers cool. They go back to back, because I still say the Lions should have beat the 49ers last year. They just gave that game away. I had the Lions actually. I think the Lions was going to go out the NFC this year. But like I said, something bad happened during that game that might change the whole tide of this. It's crazy in my life, Sean, that like my whole life, the Detroit Lions have been trash. But to see the Lions actually be a good team and a legit threat, like the Lions are legit, is crazy to me. But the Lions lost Aiden Hutchinson. And he had surgery to repair a broken tibia and a fibula. There's no timetable for his return. Let me be honest, y'all. He ain't coming back this season. If you could go look up the video yourself, if y'all not have already seen it, and look up the one where it's like kind of like close where you can kind of hear it. I don't know, somebody video affected. It's hard to tell in this day and era, but I heard a snap. I heard the snap. It was like that loud. I heard the snap. It was bad. Prayers to Aiden Hutchinson, but Sean, this is a big hit for the Lions.
Yeah, it's absolutely a big hit. I mean, he's their best defensive player. He's the leader of their defense. Certainly their best pass rusher. He is what the Bolson brothers or people want the Bolson brothers to be, but you know, he's actually a good person. You know, so
chill on Joey, man.
No, they're idiots.
Maybe, but that ain't the point, man. Leave Joe alone, man.
It's fine. You know, listen, you know, anyway, we're not going to go there. Point is Aiden Hutchinson is obviously a huge part of what they do. Now, that said, and this is where I go back to Detroit and look at how they built that team, right? They have some really talented guys on that defense. You look at Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader. They are going to be, they're going to be right, you know, right there. You know, do they go out on the market and see if there's somebody available?
I think they could, but
their way is not to give up the farm to go out and get a rental, because they believe in building their team primarily through the draft and obviously making some savvy trades here and there. So I don't think they're going to be looking for a rental. But what's your idea, SB?
I think this one, This is a big hit. It hurts their defense because, like you said, he was the heart and soul of that defense. And I do also agree with your point of that's not really has been a Lions way to give up the farm to get up somebody. You build. They've been building this team. Built this team through the draft or get smaller pieces of smaller signing here and there. But when you are this close to that finish line, which this team is this close to the finish line where I can legitimately say the Dallas Cowboys can legitimately – the Dallas Cowboys, Jesus. The Detroit Lions can legitimately compete for a Super Bowl because they was this close. And, you know, you don't got that many chances because there's one way to get in there and there's one way out once you take the L. But it was already rumored before, and I would thought about this was going to be a dynamic duo. But I think the Lions should go trade for Max Crosby. Max Crosby will fit that mold of what you losing to Aiden Hutchinson just enough. He ain't going to be Aiden Hutchinson because, you know, Aiden Hutchinson bring a whole different dynamic to that Lions defense. I feel like he's that heart and that soul to that defense. But we talking about skill and ability-wise, go get Max Crosby right now. And I don't even think you probably got to give up that much to get him.
Oh, no, so no, no. Listen. If the Raiders want a second-round pick for Davante Adams, they're going to want the farm for – Max Crosby.
What are we talking? What's the farm?
I mean, to me, the discussion got to start with at least two first round picks.
Two? Oh my Lord. Okay.
No, because I mean, let's be real. You know, Max Crosby is like that.
No,
like,
he that deal. He that deal.
And he's in his prime. So it's not like he's, you know, in the last year of his deal or anything like that. Now, I was looking at his contract. He does have an out. They do have an out on his contract. Now, I don't think they're going to exercise it because, again, he's still playing at a very high level, certainly. But I do believe that, you know, it probably wouldn't be somebody at that level, SB. I think it would have to be, again, a team like Carolina, for example, you know, whose season is really going nowhere. You know, do you call them about Clowney? Do you call the Saints about Chase Young, who's on a 1-year deal potentially? I'm just kind of, you know, it's not really a lot of guys sitting at home that I think will be able to come in off the couch and help you. But again, they've built a really good team. So it's not necessarily trying to replace Aiden Hutchinson. You really kind of do it by committee. And I will say this, if you watched him yesterday, Aaron Glenn is one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. He has been around a long time. He will figure it out if they don't go out on the street and bring in someone to replace Aiden Hutchinson. Because, again, they have a lot of talent, front to back on that defense. And I want to say one last thing about the game yesterday. Brian Branch, if he is not NFC Defensive Player of the Week, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. He had a monster game yesterday. And Myles Garrett would be interesting. Now, again, I think, again, like Max Crosby, it would take the farm to get Myles Garrett out of Cleveland, honestly. Sure. So I just don't – and, again, just knowing how Brad Holmes and that front office works, that's not really their way. They tend to be very pragmatic in how they build teams. And, again, they tend to want to win trades. So Look at the Goff and Stafford trade.
They went to Deshaun Watson trade.
Well, no, I'm talking about Detroit's front office. They tend to really be, again, very pragmatic in how they make moves with that roster. Because, again, them is draft, develop, bring guys in that know will buy into what they want to do in their system. So, they got some options out there. But I think, again, if they don't make a move, they are still good enough to be right there at the top of the NFC.
For everybody who are listening on Apple, make sure you guys, go ahead, open your phone, go get Real Takes Over Fake the Base, type it in on Apple, Spotify, or iHeart. Khalil commented and said, I'm hearing Detroit might contact the Browns about Myles Garrett. If Detroit was to find a way to get Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, they are going to the – I know Aiden Hutchinson out, but I'm telling – but in general, when they get their full squad, they're going to the Super Bowl. Nobody in the NFC – I don't care about no 49ers. Definitely don't care about no Cowboys. It was going to be over. Detroit is the embodiment of hard-nosed football. and which I don't understand how they lost the game because all he had to do was manage the game. You got two running backs, but you know things happen, fumbles with all that cool. But they got the build. They got a vet quarterback who done led the team to a Super Bowl before. You got two running backs so you can control the game. You got a defense who can get out the quarterback. But you get a guy like Myles Garrett on one side, Aiden Hutchinson on the other side, or both of them on the same side. Oh, my Lord. It will be a problem, and Detroit will be for real. But, Sean, speaking for another NFC team, you can talk about their coach, man, because Nick Sirianni is – This man is becoming a joker or something. I don't want to call him a clown, but so this fool in the middle of the game, he got booed by the fans. Cool. You know what happens? So with certain fan bases, if you don't do your job well, especially if Philadelphia fans, they will let you hear. I done seen the 76ers get booed mid-game because they play bad. The Philly fans will let you know how they feel. So it comes with Philadelphia. Philadelphia will show you the most love when you balling out. And if you playing trash, they will let you hear it. So this fool, Nick Sirianni, say, okay, I got booed. They end up winning the game, and then he end up doing gestures and yelling back at the fans. What is your reaction to Nick Sirianni doing? I think this was idiotic, and this was a dumb thing to do, and it left bad taste. Like, I can see players doing that. That's understandable. That comes with the game. But you, the coach, you are the leader of the team. You are the image of the team. So if you out there being a fool, showing your behind, what are you showing? What are you telling your players then? Because then it wasn't even worth it. It wasn't even worth like doing a gesture. It wasn't worth it. You did your job. Now go ahead and get up out of there.
So there's a guy who coached in the NFL in the 90s, SB, by the name of Rich Kotite. Rich Kotite was the Eagles coach for a few years, and then he went to be the Jets coach. Mm-hmm. Rich Kotite started out as an okay coach, but he was super – he was kind of a weirdo with the Philadelphia media and the fan base. And Philly fans will tell you, most longtime Philly fans will tell you, they couldn't wait till he left. he was just so bad. Nick Sirianni is venturing into Kotite land very, very quickly. You don't win. I've been to quite a few Eagles games in my life. If you know anything about the Eagles fan base, they travel. Sometimes going to an Eagles game on the road is like going to an Eagles game at the Link and formerly at the Vet. They are serious, right? Mm-hmm. They are serious. There is no way in the world he is going to win a fight with Eagles fans.
Mm-hmm. Let it go.
These people threw snowballs at Santa.
It's a city of brotherly love.
Right. They cheered, not because they knew the extent of the injury, but they cheered when Michael Irvin got hurt.
Yeah, that was wild.
But again, they didn't know the extent of the injury at the time. They didn't know he was never going to play again, but it was like, hey, we're just glad to get him off the field. That's how, it's not a mean thing. It's just they bleed green in Philly. That's the way it is. So, and Nick Sirianni been there long enough to know you're not going to win a battle with them. Like, come on, man. You can't be this stupid. But apparently you can. And then, to top it all off, yesterday after the game at the press conference, what does he do? He brings his kid up there with him as a deflector.
Trying to run from that smoke. No, don't run from that smoke, Mr. Sirianni. Don't do that.
Yeah. So, you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, leave the Eagles fans alone. Leave the fans alone. You won the game yesterday. Should you have probably dominated the game?
Yes.
But you won the game and get your team right. That's really what it comes down to. I think this is my belief, SB. I don't know how the season's going to play out or whatever. But short of the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl or even the NFC Championship game, I think Sirianni's out of there after this season. I really believe that. I just think it's one of those situations where I'm not sure they're going to be able to justify bringing him back. And they are a team that fired a coach who won a Super Bowl and Doug Peterson. So they're not afraid to make moves.
They will let you go.
Yeah, especially if they think, you know, there's an opportunity to upgrade out there, which there is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, so Sirianni, leave the fans alone. You're not going to win.
Bill Belichick gonna take the job for the Eagles. And that day, no, that'll be
it'll be a Belichick disciple.
I know who you're saying, but I don't know if he's gonna leave. He would leave. I don't know if they're gonna give him the opportunity though.
I think they would.
I mean, how he coaching? He coaching the best defense in the league right now. I would in a heartbeat give him a chance. But you know,
yeah, and also again, a lot of times when you think about, and this is the uniqueness of Philly, New York, Boston, just that Northeast corridor, you got to bring in somebody with some heart and some thick skin. Mm-hmm. He is from Brownsville, grew up in Brownsville. He is as thick skinned as they come, you know. Mm-hmm. So he understands what that environment is. And not saying others don't, I'm saying he does. And they will vibe with him, honestly, because again, he will bring that toughness and he will fix their defense as well. So, you know, to complement what they have on offense. So that's why I'm saying I think he would be the choice, as you know, as well.
I can see him being that. But Sean, that's another team that I want to talk about who looks scary. I know we were talking about the Lions and coaching. You got to worry about his coach doing anything to the fans. We were talking about the Baltimore Ravens at a point in time early season where we were saying, like, can they figure out how to use Derrick Henry? And when they do figure it out, it's going to be scary. I'm here to hit the red alert button right now. So I'm hitting the button. It's starting to look scary. Derrick Henry with the Ravens is scary. The Ravens are scary. And the reason why is Derrick Henry, Sean. Mm-hmm. They figured it out, which was just like give him the ball more. Just give him the ball more. One, go to the boy, stop running all them little shotgun, go downhill. And then watch Derrick Henry work. I'm just saying, I would not want to play the Ravens. And the Chiefs will get a run for their money this year. The Texans will get a run for their money. Sean, this is scary, man. That's all I'm going to say. This is scary. What do you think?
You know, I would say this, you know, and you will appreciate this. He is Derrick Henry is Son Goku.
Super Saiyan. Yeah.
Like, you know, he is like that. Like, and they figured out give him the ball, make sure he, and the more you give him the ball, it seems like the stronger and the tougher he runs. You got to keep him engaged. So over the last few games, the first game they didn't really give him enough carries. Over the last few games, he's averaging 22 carries a game. What's that telling me? They are making it a point that we have to hand this guy the football, and he will deliver for us. And they are figuring out how to do it without taking away from what Lamar
does.
The rest of the offense does. That's the nature of this thing. You know, you think about it, SB, and I just say this real quick. When you look at just yards per game, the two leading rushers yards per game this season were free agents this offseason.
One is Derrick Henry
and the other Saquon Barkley. So when teams say, hey, the running back don't matter, the running game don't matter, we're seeing it matters.
It very much matters a lot. Having a great running back matters a lot.
Yes. So I think what it really comes down to is them making a decision that, you know, hey, we are going to not only run the football and we're going to run it well, we are going to make sure that this guy we brought in is very much featured in a focal point of our offense. And I think also doing that, SB, for the Ravens especially, really helps to protect their defense, who's still a little bit of a work in progress. So, and you saw that yesterday. They really wanted to try to control time of possession yesterday. You know, limit, you know, Jaden Daniels and watching his offense, which we know is explosive and can hit you with the big play every now, you know, that's what they really were trying to do. So I just think they're a team that, again, understands what they are, what they're trying to do. And again, I said at the beginning of the season, SB, I think it's a three-headed race in the AFC, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Houston. And a quarter of the way through the season, it's still very much those three teams, and then everybody else kind of looking up at them.
Yeah, they is on the collision course. And shout out Kyle, he said, is Derrick Henry overrated? You see the title of this segment, The Ravens Look Scary. Reason why Derrick Henry, in all caps, he's nowhere near overrated. Derrick Henry is a dog. Have you not seen the last couple games he just played? And then before I get to my point about the Derrick Henry Ravens, Khalil says, Sean, we're about to get the Yankees out the paint.
Yeah, we're cool. I'm not paying you no mind on that, brother. I'm not paying you no mind on that.
Yeah, you already know. Go Yankees, big strikes. But what makes this so devastating? Because one, Lamar Jackson can still do his thing, be spectacular, but I like the addition of Derrick Henry and the usage of him because he makes Lamar Jackson's job easier. Actually, like you brought up how he makes the defense job easy because they want to control the time of possession. Derrick Henry makes everybody's job easy. Having a great running back makes anybody's job easy. You can control the time of possession. You can control your quarterback getting hit. And then once the running back actually consistently come a threat, and I'm not going to lie, seeing Lamar Jackson fake do an option play or Lamar Jackson play action is probably some of the most scariest things a defender would want to see because you don't know if it's the run because it's Derrick Henry or if he does fake it, Lamar Jackson can take off or he going to bomb it over the top of your whole defense head. And this Baltimore Ravens team is legit. And the more they keep going with this style of play with Derrick Henry, they possibly will be in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, but obviously they got to get rid. They got to get past that monster, which is known as Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't want to say it, but I had to. Didn't want to. I hate them, Sean. I hate them as a Chargers fan, but I got to respect them. Also, Caleb Williams threw for 4 touchdowns as the Bears destroyed the Jaguars. The reason I also bring it up, shout out Cass Real. In a TikTok chat, he said, my Jaguars need the tank for Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter do not want that. Trust me, Travis Hunter do not want to go to Jacksonville. I wouldn't want to wish that on him. Sorry, Cash. But bringing up this, right, because the Chicago fans, not Chicago fans, the Caleb Williams haters or the Bears haters was talking crazy when, you know, Steelers was 3-0, Justin Fields, wide receiver Justin Fields, they was destroying Caleb. The offense started a little bit better. Caleb started getting his bag a little bit more. Obviously, we just talked about the Commanders. And Commanders playing Ravens to my Jaden Daniels. I'm going to put the stamp of approval right here, Sean, because we are, what, like six games in now? Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams were both money. 1-2 picks. You know, because usually how the NFL goes, 1 and 2 pick, maybe one of them be good, the other one be like iffy recently, how he's been having, but I can literally agree. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels is true to advertisement. They priced at the right margin. Them kids is real, and they're gonna be in the league for a long time. Am I wrong for saying that? And Caleb Williams also is making the offensive rookie of the year race now. It's Jaden Daniels still right now, but now it's starting to become a conversation now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's a conversation. I think again, you know, everybody's going to look at, obviously, their individual stats. It's not going to be all that dissimilar to 12 years ago, SP, when it was Andrew Luck and RG3, you know, competing for it. But I think, it'll come down to, obviously, their individual stats, but also with a quarterback is team success, you know, and are you getting team success above expectation, right? I think most people thought Chicago would be a really, really competitive team, you know, this season coming in, just looking at it, everybody kept saying, oh, Caleb Williams went to the best situation and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I don't think anybody thought Washington would be doing what they're doing right now to start the season. Thought they would be better than last season, but not leading the NFC East right now. So I think, you know, it's going to come down to that. But also, you know, I don't even necessarily want to worry about that from a fan perspective. I just want to enjoy, you know, what they're doing. And what they're doing right now is reviving, you know, not just, you know, their teams, but quarterback play in markets that have struggled with quarterback play. And I think that to me is super special, and I think we should just enjoy it. And, you know, and also I would say, if I were a fan of either team, be glad you got a guy.
Yeah, because man,
because everybody don't have a guy, you know, they don't. So
they don't. You know. Some guys on the clock. I can tell you one guy who was top of the draft, posed to change the franchise. And I could be, and before, I know one of y'all gonna say it in the chat. It's not even that the reason why I'm being petty, because I know we lost him in the playoffs. We blew a big lead. Oh well, ha ha ha, Chargers blew him out. But Trevor Lawrence is on the clock now, because it's starting to get a little bit shaky for Trevor. Now you can do it, Brady. You want to blame another coach again, whatever Jaguars, but Trevor Lawrence, I know, sorry, Cash World. Trevor Lawrence is on the clock too.
Yeah, and I'll say this real quick, SB. I know we got to move on, but also 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks, Chicago and Washington play each other. It's good chance to see both of these guys on the field together. And, you know, and again, I think they represent a bright future for those franchises, but also, again, franchises that have largely struggled with finding a quarterback. You know, long term. So I think it's going to be a fun game for both of them. And obviously, they both are, you know, on teams that are trying to compete to be playoff teams as of right now. So that's the other part of it for me.
Sean, we do got a game to preview tonight. We can preview it at the end of the show. We do our picture of the week. It's the Bills versus the Jets preview. Obviously, you guys listen on audio platform. I'm going to drop the show right after on here. So you can listen to it with the game. Or if you listen to it after, it's going to be a preview of the game. But we got to go to the hardwood, Sean. Guess who is back? Lonzo Ball is back. Hooray. Yeah, Lonzo. Big ball of bread. BBBs. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not excited. I'm not excited at all. It's like a little too late. A little too late. He's two years too late, man. I'm sorry. We don't even have the team that was built for Lonzo. We don't even have the same goals as we had when Lonzo Ball was here. When Lonzo Ball was here, we was the Fugazi 1C of the Chicago Bulls. I'm not going to lie. We was the Fugazi 1C. We was the 1C, but we didn't beat no real team. We was high in the conference because of a very favorable schedule at that point in time. We don't have DeMar DeRozan no more. We let a lot of people go. We have found young talent. Kobe White finally got into form. So out of what Lonzo Ball doing, coming back, will take away from Kobe White's minutes. We got that rookie. That rookie, nice. I think we hit with that rookie. Zach LaVine on a high contract. If we could package Zach and Lonzo together and get some young pieces so we could take a Cooper Flag, that'll be the best thing that could ever happen. We get off the Lonzo contract. We get off the Zach LaVine contract and get rid of Lonzo. That'll be perfect. But I'm not excited for this return, Sean, because it doesn't benefit my team, the Chicago Bulls. I'm not excited for it at all. I'm happy for Lonzo, though. I rock with Zoe. I just feel like Zoe needs to go somewhere else where he can compete. I just feel like the timeline don't match up. It's a little too late.
So let me push back on that slightly, SB. I think he does benefit the team if he's healthy because, again, he's on a pretty reasonable deal. Mm-hmm. If a team out there says, hey, we're – interested in Lonzo. I think this is the last year of his deal, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he could have some benefit on the trade market as an expiring contract. So right. I will say he does benefit the Bulls, but it may not necessarily be in the way of him benefiting the Bulls on the court in terms of making the Bulls a legit contender. Now, I do think with Lonzo and with some of the pieces around, the Bulls could potentially be a play-in team in the East. But as we've talked about, yeah, well, which we've talked about previously, you know, I don't know if that does them any good given where they're trying to go with the franchise, which, again, still remains to be seen. But I will say I think Lonzo does have some benefit, but primarily not because of Lonzo, the basketball player. It's more Lonzo, the contract. And, again, if he's healthy and a team's trying to move, you know, some money around or there's a team out there that feels like, you know, they want to take him on in the last year of his deal. Because, again, I do believe this is the last year of his deal.
It is. He's done robbing us after this year.
Well, I mean, robbing is relative, right? I mean, it wasn't his fault he wasn't healthy. So, you know, but I do think,
highway robbing.
Well, no, I mean, again, and when you
I look rock at, with Zoe, though. No disrespect. No, I like
when Zoe. You look at the money he's making, and we know when he's on the floor, he's generally productive.
Fair.
He's actually a bargain when you look at the money compared to what he's making and what other guys in the league now are making, you know. So I think, you know, again, it comes down to, you know, can the Bulls use him, you know, to, you know, again, you know, bring in assets, bring in pieces. But again, part of that is he's got to be healthy, I think, to help that and do that. Yeah. So I think that's where he helps the Bulls.
Cottage asks, can the Bulls make the playoffs? Yeah, but we don't need to. Play in? Yes. But can we just, like, solidify play-in spot? I mean, play-off spot, like a fifth seed? No. We don't need to make the playoffs. Speaking of another trade, too, Sean, DiVincenzo, Julius Randle was traded for the Knicks. It's a cat. You know, cat got traded to the Knicks. The Big Bodega, by the way, that's the nickname, the Big Bodega. I think the Big Bodega is fire, Sean. I'm not going to lie. For a nickname, the Big Bodega is fire. You not rocking with it? Your face?
No.
You know what I'm saying about Bodega? The cats being the Bodega? Cat?
Yeah.
Sean. You got to rock with the Big Bodega.
Bodegas tend to be overpriced. Their products aren't always that great. You know, it's a lot of them, but, you know, that's the issue. So, yeah, I wouldn't want that.
I mean, that kind of nickname. Does fit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel cat over. I mean,
we'll see.
The Big Bodega is fire. I'm rocking with the Big Bodega. DiVincenzo was at the free throw line shot, and I guess he was like talking smack to the Knicks bench. Him and Rick Brunson, who is Jalen Brunson's dad, get the chirp to each other.
Yes.
Obviously, at the end of the game, everybody talking size. Like I said, people overblown it, but you know, it's dry season right now for the NBA. They're going to take whatever content they can get. But is the Knicks versus T-Wolves going to be a rivalry now because of this trade? Is it? You know, I like the competitiveness in a rivalry. And do you also feel like DiVincenzo extinguished the fire of the rumors that he the reduced roles, things like that? But it's something there was a problem. So if you could put an estimated guess on it, what you think it is?
I mean, again, I think, you know, two guys got traded to a team that they weren't necessarily expecting to get traded to. I think anytime that happens, there's going to be some level of feeling about it. And, you know, you remember Julius Randle, you know, signed with the Knicks, you know.
When nobody else wanted to go to the Knicks, by the way.
Right. He was there. He was there first. Jalen Brunson came later. Mm-hmm. DiVincenzo chose to sign with the Knicks as a free agent, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it really, you know, there's certainly going to be some hard feelings there, you know, or whatever, but these guys understand it's a business, and they use any slight and any fuel, you know, to the fire that they can add, you know, to compete. And certainly anytime, you know, probably over at least this season, Minnesota and New York compete, as long as those guys are on the floor, it's probably going to be competitive. It's probably going to be a little chippy, and that's not a bad thing. But I do think, you know, it was a little overblown, I think.
Yes.
But I would also say it's not a bad thing. And I know a lot of people probably, you know, again, still looking at this trade, feeling like Minnesota got fleeced. I think Minnesota got two guys with something to prove, and that is always a good thing for a team, as long as they can help take that and fit it into what Minnesota's ultimate goal is. So I think it's a good thing, honestly.
Yeah, you always going to say the team that got the better player always want to trade, but I can definitely say both sides wanted this trade. It's not a bad trade either. Shocked a lot of people, but it's not a bad trade. Sean, we do got a game tonight, right? And I said I was going to bring this back up. We got the Jets versus the Bills. I think, as I recall from our picks of the week, we both picked the Bills in this one. Obviously, correct. The Jets has fired their head coach. Didn't let him take it back to his team. So I don't know what type of mess this Jets team is going to be in. Hey, they could come out, you know, dude, he was a problem. They could come out, look way better than before. I doubt it. And, you know, the Bills is playing real good right now. Even though James Cook is out, I think that's a big hit. So I'm still going to stick with my pick of the Bills because I just don't know what I'm going to get from the Jets, especially on the offense. The defense was definitely – heavily tied to the Robert Saleh. I think I said
Saleh.
Saleh. So Robert Saleh.
Solid.
So I still expect the defense to play hard, but I still don't know what to expect from this offense, and I still don't need Aaron Rodgers trying to play Superman football. This is the point of your career. He should look at Aaron Rodgers need to get out his own way, ego-wise, whatever is Aaron Rodgers, and look in the mirror and go back and play the tape of Tom Brady with the Buccaneers and go back and play the tape of Peyton Manning with the Broncos. They didn't have to be Superman, and they didn't want to be Superman. They just did their job. But when the crunch time come, that's when I need to do it. But for the majority of the time, they just played regular standard quarterback, made the simple plays, and just had that present there. Aaron Rodgers need to go to that. You got to understand that. Look, bro, you ain't Jordan with the Bulls right now. You're Jordan with the Wizards. You ain't Tom. You ain't Aaron Rodgers for the Packers. You're Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. You're past your prime. You're not that guy no more. Go out there, do the simple pass, do the simple plays, and then when it's time to go out there, when the money on the line to win the game, you go win it. That's it. This is supposed to be a coast to a Super Bowl for you. But he still think he MVP. So I got Josh Allen and the Bills winning this game, but I do think the game is going to be a little bit closer, especially with James Cook being possibly out. But I'm still stick with my pick of the Bills.
Yeah, I am as well. And I want to say this real quick, SB. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I listened to, NFL Sunday Countdown talk about this whole Jets situation and Rex Ryan, who coached with the Jets many years ago as a head coach, talked about the organization, and he said, it's not a bad organization and blah, blah, blah. Yes, they are. Just because you have an owner who wants to win does not mean it's a good organization. Since he has been in charge, it's not a good organization. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. It's not a good organization. Just because you want to marry, Halle Berry doesn't mean, you're going to get to be a husband. Like, what I mean? Like, that's not the way this works.
That's true.
And the problem is again, I think they chose someone to be the fall guy. And Robert Saleh was the chosen fall guy.
Yep, he was the fall guy.
Right. And again, whether it's true or not, it's going to look like Aaron Rodgers and those other people in the organization who have a lot of power got their way.
Mm-hmm.
But this organization is an M-E-S-S mess.
And
that's what they are. And they have to own that that's what they are. You're not a good organization, right? Just because you're in New York, because you play in New Jersey, just because you does not mean you're a good organization. You're not a good organization. You're not a good organization, right? Yeah, and look at the people who've left that organization, who've gone on other places and done well. You're not a good organization.
Yeah, they got to get it together.
You're not a good organization.
I don't have nothing to say, Sean. That's the perfect way to end it. I have nothing to argue about that one. It is the worst time of the show. NFL injury bug. Who is your injury bug of the week?
Obvious. Yeah, certainly Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson is
right there, as well. But I will say, I think the James Cook injury is something to watch out for. Because again, I think the Bills, again, looking at how they want to play this year, they want to be a very balanced team. And that's him, running the football and being a big part of their offense, taking some of the, pressure off of Josh Allen. So I'll say Aiden Hutchinson, but James Cook, definitely.
Okay. Before we recap our pick of the week, don't forget October 21st. NBA preview special. We're doing an NBA preview October 21st. Be there on the show. All right, let's recap, Sean. It's Monday. Friday we put the picks in. Monday we recap who win. I believe I'm right. I'm up 4-1 right now. Yes. I cannot lie, Sean. I'm looking back and I'm remembering certain picks that I'll pick. I think you might have got me this week, but it's only one way to find out. Let's go.
All right, first game, Jacksonville at Chicago. We both took Chicago. Chicago did win that game over in London. Next game, Arizona and Green Bay. You took the Cardinals. I took the Packers. Packers did beat them. Marvin Harrison Jr. did leave the game with a concussion, so concerns there. Press next game, Indianapolis Colts at Tennessee. You took Tennessee. I took the Colts. The Colts did win by three.
That's for sure.
Next game, Houston at New England. We both took Houston. We obviously know who won that game. Excuse me. So next game, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. You took Tampa Bay. I took New Orleans. Don't want to talk about it.
I was gonna bring that up about that. That was the BTA right there too, Sean. That was a BTA.
Yeah, yeah. No. Listen, I told you the man can't manage the Dairy Queen. Why would I be excited about him as the head coach?
You wasn't happy with the rookie you did you?
I mean, he was okay. He showed some flash, but you know, ultimately, you know, it wasn't gonna be one guy that went. You know what? I saw something yesterday, and they really summed it up well. The Saints are Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore away from being the Carolina Panthers, and
that is true. That is true.
So you know, I'm gonna leave it at that. No slight to Carolina, but you know, and you know what? Get Bryce Young back out there. This is over with. This is done. The Andy Dalton thing is done. Get Bryce Young back out there. All right, moving on. Cleveland at Philadelphia. We both took Philly. Philly did win. Uh-huh. Washington at Baltimore. We both took Baltimore. Baltimore obviously won that game. LA Chargers at Denver. We both took the Chargers. The Chargers did pull that one out. Steelers at the Raiders. We both took the Raiders. We both took the Steelers. Steelers did win. Mm-hmm. Detroit at Dallas. We both smartly took Detroit. We know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Belt to behind.
Atlanta at Carolina. We both took Atlanta. Atlanta did win. Cincinnati at the New York Giants. Cincinnati pulled it out last night. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have the game tonight, Buffalo at the New York Jets, and we both took Buffalo. But the game does not matter because
You 2-1.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, no, I'm saying.
I can switch to the Jets, and we can end the tie.
No, you don't do that. You're good. You just went on this whole spiel about the Bills taking the Bills. Just stay with the Bills.
That's a devious way to get it done.
Not really, because I mean, you know, but no. But obviously, you know, we both think Buffalo's going to win, so we'll leave it at that. But that's our picks for Week 6.
Yeah, look. Tampa say PK right in just in time to say go Bucks. Oh, hey, man. Look at Sean's face at that go Bucks. You don't understand. Sean, what you just watched was like seeing your ex be just torture your other ex. That's what you see. It was bad.
Well, first of all, two exes torture each other. I don't care. but that's it. But I will say the Buccaneers got Baltimore this week.
The Ravens could lose that game.
But you want to see who we're going to pick for the game? You know, let's just wait till next week and see what happens.
Don't do it. I picked every time, majority of the time when I pick the Bucks, Big Baker and them come through for me, man. Big Baker.
No, and I will say this. If I watched the game, obviously, yesterday. The Bucks won in spite of Baker. Because Baker – Baker had a rough game yesterday, threw three interceptions, could have been four or five. They gave up a punt return for a touchdown. But I will say, I think the difference in the game was, you know, second half, Todd Bowles did a great job of coming after Spencer Rattler, giving him some looks in his first game, his first start, you know. So I'll just say, that you know, it was to me the Bucs defense really just you know tuning up and getting after, and also you know, and again, I don't make excuses. You know, when you get beat like that, you get beat. Mm-hmm. But you know, once Chris Olave went out of the game, Shaheed got hurt, it was a very different game. You know, so Bucs did their job yesterday. They went in and took it to you know my Saints. But that's it. You know. We'll see you at the end of the season, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah.
All right, Sean. Episode number 9 of season 2. who you got. And obviously, if you ever want to know what we always say, that number of the episode, we pick a player that we like that ever wore that number with the same episode. It was season one, it was kind of getting shaky in those 60s. But season two, episode now, who you got, Sean?
I'm going to take recently minted Hall of Famer Vince Carter in the Olympics. It's from the 2000 Olympics.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, and also, I'm going to say the other number nine, who should be in the Hall of Fame, Steve Air McNair, should be in the Hall of Fame, MVP. Agreed. One of the best quarterbacks of his time, Steve McNair.
You know, I have to agree with you on that one. Man, one of the best first-round playoff series I've ever seen. My favorite player, Derrick Rose, and this one-point guard who always dominate the games in other ways besides scoring. I'm going to go Rondo. Rondo number nine.
Yeah, so I recall. I think didn't Ray Allen have a 52-point game in that playoff?
Why you got to bring that part up?
I just remember him cooking in that series.
Why you got to bring that up, man? Nobody talked about Ray. Ray never wore number nine, Sean. Why are you bringing up old trauma?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We see how we were talking about like the point guard battle. We didn't get to that part of the story. I don't really recall that happening either. I don't remember it.
I can see the film because I've watched.
No, you don't got to do that. You don't got to do that. You don't got to do that.
Cooking, no KG, he was cooking. But anyway,
you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that. You can just keep that bad film to yourself. All right? I don't want to see that. I want to see his jump shot. Is Ray in the Hall of Fame yet?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. First ballot.
I'm saying Ray. Yeah,
right. He's going to them all. I'm first ballot, boy.
Ray better be first ballot.
Yeah, he doesn't do that, but it is what it is.
Ray will say that, but you ain't going to never hear Ray say that. But Ray probably say that.
Yeah.
He said, real quick, Tampa, before we get about it, Tampa State Pete wanted to know how you feel about Rattler, real quick.
I'll say this, he showed some flashes yesterday, particularly in the first half. Once they, kind of let him use his legs and get out of the pocket, he did show some things. He throws a pretty nice ball. But again, it's one game. I'm not going to go crazy over one game. But also, again, in the second half, Todd Bowles and that defense made him look like a guy who was playing in his first game as a rookie. So, it was okay, not going to get too high or too low over that. Also, Tampa St. Pete, prayers to you to hope, you and your friends and family are well after the storm, down in Tampa St. Pete. So,
prayers to Tampa. Prayers to Tampa, everybody in Florida.
The entire West Coast, really, and Central Florida. Yes.
Cool. Appreciate it. And also, you guys, like I said, I will be uploading this right after the show from YouTube. So people on Apple, Spotify, and iHeart, click the link. I put the link in the description of there. You want to see video episodes, come to the YouTube. And the YouTube people, we are on Apple, Spotify, and iHeart Media. So go over there, subscribe, and follow. Salute, Go James. But we are out of here. And see you guys on Friday.